Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Drive Through HR. And today we have a birthday celebration going on. It's our William's birthday. So happy birthday, William.
Thank you very much. I've learned to be very gracious about birthdays, but, you know, the kids, it's a big deal to my sons. You know, they want to make a big deal. In fact, the last couple of days, it's a big deal. It's like your birthday's coming. And, you know, I have to remember that for them, it is a big deal. But for me, and even my wife doesn't celebrate birthdays either. It's just another day. It's Tuesday. Got a lot of work to do. Like every other Tuesday. Nothing changed. But anyhow, being gracious.
I hope you're having a fabulous one.
Yes, I am. I am.
Alrighty. So let's talk to our guest. We have a wonderful friend of us, have been on the show many times, and welcome her again. Tiffany, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Well, thank you, Nisha. Thanks for inviting me back. And happy birthday, William. Hopefully 25 will be good to you.
Yes, it really will. I look forward to being 26. You know?
Fantastic.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. Woo! I want to learn so much.
Alrighty. So, Tiffany, if there is someone out there who doesn't know of you, we would appreciate if you can talk a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Excellent. Sure, I will do that, Nisha. For those of you who I have not had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Tiffany Keel, and I am based out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area of Minnesota. I'm a talent acquisition leader for an engineering and technology organization called MTS Systems, and we do testing systems and equipment for our customers that they purchase from us so that they can then test their products before they go to market. So in addition to that, I am also a volunteer with my local SHRM chapter, the Twin Cities Human Resource Association, where I've been volunteering since 2002. And recently held the role of president, now currently past president. So lots of experience in the volunteer ranks and lots of networking there, and definitely have enjoyed volunteering over the last few years.
Great. So recruiting, volunteering, a lot of speaking gigs are going on. So what's keeping you up at night these days?
Well, I was recently part of the social media team for the Missouri SHRM State Conference, and what was keeping me up there was preparing for the Ignite HR presentation, which is something new for me, but that was a ton of fun. For those of you not familiar with the Ignite HR presentation, it is a 5-minute presentation. You get 20 slides, no more, no less, and they rotate every 15 seconds, and you have zero control over the slides. It's 15 seconds per slide, 5 minutes. You get up, you tell your story, and that is it. And it was an amazing experience. Had a ton of fun doing that with 8 other people as part of a keynote for Missouri SHRM. As far as what's keeping me up at night now, it's kind of the things that go undone, so to speak. So I have a list of things for my team, for my organization. As I mentioned, I work for MTS Systems Corporation. Recruiting as a standalone function is extremely new to this company. We started in 2012, and the organization's been around for almost 50 years. So prior to the team that I have established and then continuing to build, all of the hiring managers were doing their own recruiting. So what's keeping me up is having to build out the infrastructure, streamline systems, build out best practices for recruiting, and help educating managers and our HR business partners on, you know, what we need to be doing, and add on top of that the fact that MTS is a government contractor, then we have all of those regulations and employment laws that we also have to comply with. So just a couple of items to keep me awake.
So do us a favor and take us into a day in the life with you. What is a, and I know there's no such thing as a typical day, but just pick a day and take us into that day. What does your actual day look like?
So it's looking at, so that you're right, William, there isn't really a typical day, but when it comes to, so the way, actually, let me back up. So the way I've described what my team and I are doing right now, it's building a bridge as we're walking across it. So if you can imagine that, so we're not only recruiting and filling jobs, qualifying candidates, screening people in, helping hiring managers, we're also in the background building out the systems and processes and the infrastructure to support our day-to-day. So it's, you know, fielding calls from suppliers who want to get their foot in the door to help us support recruiting. It's looking at reports, identifying what metrics we're going to use to measure our performance, what information are we going to share with our executive team to help them understand what it is that we're doing, helping managers who have been around the organization for a while understand how they can work with us and use us as a support function so that they can do what they do best. They can go out and build products, re-engineer products. We can do the recruiting for them. So there's a lot of change management as well as using the experience of the talented people that I have on my team to, you know, continue to show that recruiting and talent acquisition has a place in this organization, that we have value and that we can contribute to what the organization is doing.
So a lot of this, as you said, it's the Michael Dell reference of you're changing a flat while the car's going.
Precisely.
So some of it's foundational. At the same time, you got to get results for the open recs that you have right now. What does recruiting look like? So in particular, like how do you source? Like teaching, you know, a hiring manager who's never had to source before, hey, we can source differently. Do you find yourself running a lot of education, or do you kind of perceive it as, you know what, let me just go and get the results, lay down the process, build out the tools, connect the things that I need to connect, et cetera?
It really is all of that, but we're not to the point yet where we are getting flashy, glitzy, and fancy. It's about building out the basics first. So when it comes to sourcing, it starts with having a sound understanding of the requirements of the role. So what is it that someone's going to be able to have to do to be effective in this role when they walk in the door? And then be able to clearly articulate that as we're advertising the role and then talking about it with people as we're screening them. So there's lots of resume mining, name generation, you know, of course using LinkedIn, using networking, not a ton of reliance on agencies, which is, you know, part of the goal of bringing in the recruitment function, but it really is about the basics and teaching managers how to sell the job themselves. So as they're out there networking, you know, if they're in their industry groups, or even if they're doing something as elementary as a status update on LinkedIn. So crafting a brief message for them and just handing it over to them and saying, here, Mr. or Ms. Hiring Manager, here's why someone would want to work for MTS Systems for you. Go post this on your LinkedIn profile, and then we'll talk next week about how many people you've interacted with. So teaching them how to use some of the tools and you know, do some of the sourcing to help generate candidate names. But it's really, you know, kind of we're in build mode. I've talked with my team a couple of times about the fact that, you know what, this isn't a well-oiled machine yet. We're building this essentially from the ground up.
Which is actually great. Well, I'm sure you're having a great time because you've been on that recruiting role for a longer period of time. You know the drill, and you have seen that traditional recruiting, and you have seen this how social recruiting works. So you know it's not just about broadcasting or creating some noise, but you know how to start right in the beginning. So what do you recommend to those audience who are probably thinking of recruiting for the first time, like your company that you're doing right now, what are some things that they would think about in the beginning to have a strategy in place?
So some of the things that you think, Nisha, as a company that they would think about, or someone who is in HR and they're trying to determine if they want to get into recruiting?
No,
as
a company overall, yeah.
Yeah, so
go ahead.
Maybe do it for an organization. One of the things I would recommend is potentially doing a time study. So how much time is it taking out of your line manager's day or your executive's day to do the recruiting on their own? And you know, is that time that could be better spent developing their existing employees or building out the strategy for their business or their function? So how much time is it taking, and what is it costing? So if they find that, you know, they're spending a ton of time, in addition to that, they're working with an executive firm and they're paying 25% for each hire, then they may want to find a different way to go about, you know, doing their recruiting. So then evaluate what would be the benefit of bringing recruiting in-house. If you were to pay a recruiter to work for your organization, they do everything soup to nuts, or your recruiting function does everything soup to nuts, what would that cost you? So do that time study, do a cost-benefit analysis, and if it makes more sense for the business to bring it in-house and to have someone specialize in it, then, you know, you're going to win.
All right, I got to ask you about metrics. Recruiting metrics in particular.
Of course you do.
There's a gun next to my head, actually. I really have to ask
right.
you about it.
Right. You know, I think what happened is my buddy Dustin Haverkamp probably
yeah.
called you and said, make sure you ask her about metrics.
Have to. What's your bit? What's your take?
Well, I think it's important, just like any business, you know, how do you measure your performance? So with the team that I'm working with, again, we're starting with the basics. We had nothing. No one was measuring, you know, how long it's taking us to fill jobs, how that impacts the business. So some of the basic things that we're looking at is, of course, time to fill. How long is it taking us? Compare that against industry standards. Also, how long is it taking managers to approve requisitions? So once those recs are entered into the system, how long is it taking them and their leadership team to route it to us? So that shows kind of their commitment and how important and how critical that job is for the business. The other is cost per hire. So that goes, again, back to kind of that time study I was talking about and the cost benefit. So if I can show that not only is the time to fill decreasing now that we have recruiting in-house and the cost per hire is significantly decreased, we've shown our value. We're adding to the organization's success. So time to fill, cost per hire. Another thing that I'll be introducing to the organization is hiring manager satisfaction. So now that we do have this standalone function, this in-house service, how are managers interacting with us, and are they getting from us what they need? Are we responsive? Are we finding quality candidates? Are the candidates staying once they're hired? Once I introduce the hiring manager satisfaction, the next step will be candidate satisfaction. So how are we interacting and with the candidates? How well are we selling the organization? How well are we, you know, communicating where they stand in the process? Because we know that a lot of times is a disaster. You interview with an organization and then you don't hear from them ever again. So I want to make sure that the team is interacting and communicating not only with hiring managers but with candidates. So very important to measure how well we are or are not doing. And then if the metrics are going, you know, one way, you know, let's say cost per hire is going up, that is my cue to look into why. what are the sources that we're using? What are the suppliers and the job boards and, the agencies that, what are they doing, or how is our partnership with those suppliers working, and, what's going on there that's causing our cost per hire to go up? Same thing with time to fill. If for some reason it's taking too long to fill a requisition, there's something wrong with the role. Either it was inappropriately scoped, or the people just don't exist in the market. So then, I'm using those metrics and those markers to gauge the performance, as well as diagnose and assess and fix issues.
So real quick on that, just as a follow-up to that in satisfaction, you've got the recruiters and hiring managers. Their satisfaction goes both ways or just one way?
Right now, it's just one way. It will start with the hiring manager, for lack of a better way of putting it, assessing their experience through the recruitment process. So are we training them? Are we providing them with tools? Are we responsive? Do we understand their needs? Are we providing the right candidates for what they're looking for?
But eventually you see that as two-way, at least.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
But we got to say, we have to start somewhere. Yep.
No, I understand. So you're out on the road a bunch, and I want to ask you more of a global question in terms of all of talent acquisition. The things that you see, I know you're a prolific writer, speaker, you're out there on the circuit, you see enough, so you're not just inside your company, and there's a lot of really competent people that are inside their company, and those are the four walls. But this is outside of that. I want you to kind of give us your take on what we should stop, start, and continue doing in talent acquisition. So let us all stop, whatever acts that you have to grind, let's do that. Start things that we should be considering, et cetera, and what we should continue doing, like things that you really like. We talk enough about it, and we should continue talking about it.
That's a great question, William. I think one of the things that we need to absolutely, positively, without a doubt, stop doing is pointing fingers. And what I mean by that is I hear a lot of recruiters pointing fingers at HR, and HR pointing fingers at recruiting, or saying that the agency did this, a lot of, throwing each other under the bus, and it's got to stop because we're all on the same team. The ultimate goal is to get a position filled. The ultimate goal, be able to pick up the phone and extend someone an offer and change their life. We just got to partner together. I hear a lot of recruiters saying, well, HR is preventing me from extending the offer. And HR is saying, well, recruiting isn't finding me the right candidates. So got to stop that, come together, figure out how to collaborate and partner together, because we're all in it for the same reason, and that's, again, to make sure that we're extending offers and giving people jobs. What we need to continue doing is one of my favorite things is networking. We have to absolutely, without a doubt, continue networking, sharing ideas. You mentioned that, I've kind of been on the road. I absolutely love interacting with people from all across the country, all across the world, finding out that, a lot of the things that I encounter on the job, someone, halfway across the world has also experienced the same thing. And then talking about, how you address that and, how does it work in your organization? Maybe I can try that. I've had a couple of instances where, someone's raised a question on Twitter. I've responded. The next day we're on the phone talking about a situation, and, just the networking and the knowledge you can gain from interacting with people like that is just, it's invaluable. What we need to start doing. I think that's an interesting one. One of the things I think we should start doing is probably, focusing more on the basics and the fundamentals. There's a lot of people that want to do really exciting, sexy, flashy, really cool things, but not really taking into consideration that it may not work for a lot of organizations, especially if you're in, you know, like a manufacturing organization, or you work for a school, or, you know, something where they're not in marketing, they're not in sales, but they really need support with building out just the basics. So start focusing on the basics, and then we can start looking at doing the uber cool things like, you know, infographics for job descriptions. You know, we're not there yet, so we really need to, you know, start focusing on the basics and make sure they're flawlessly executed.
Absolutely. Maybe it may be one of the reasons, as you said, focusing more on the basics, pointing fingers at HR or HR pointing fingers at recruiters. They may be focusing on different things. As I can say, sourcers, who in some organizations, sourcers can be recruiters, and recruiters will definitely do the show sourcing as well. But they have a hacker mind, you know, finding out the candidate, doing a Boolean search, and finding out the people. But when it comes to identifying the right person with a culture fit, HR would focus more on that. So do you think that there is a disconnect in what they focus when it comes to having a quality hire?
A difference in the focus between HR and the recruiters and sourcers?
Mm-hmm.
I think in some instances there are, and that's why I say it's really important for the two functions to collaborate. So, you know, an outstanding sourcer is going to be able to find you some excellent people. They're out there digging, they're networking. They're gonna uncover some gems and some people that we definitely want to, at the very least, consider to have join our organization. But in some instances, there may be a little bit of a disconnect, you know, especially when it comes to culture or the mission and vision of an organization. And just because that person's a gem or a rock star doesn't mean they're necessarily going to fit into your organization's environment and the norms of your company. So I think when you do an intake meeting or when you kick off the recruitment process, it is essential for HR, for your recruiters, for your sourcers, and recruiters and sourcers are typically going to be two different roles, but it's important that they all come together and do not leave the room until everyone has a clear understanding as to what's needed and required to be effective in that role.
All right, Tiffany, what's your superpower, and how did you develop it?
My superpower, honestly, William, my superpower is being a mom. I've spent 8 years kind of honing and developing that it's didn't come easily, but it's been just the, you know, my son is absolutely the light of my life, keeps me going. The reason I get up in the morning, the reason I race out of work to get home, but just, you know, really puts everything into perspective for me, and it's just been, you know, an absolute blast, you know, being able to help develop this human and, you know, see him grow and change and ask questions and, you know, challenge the way that I think about some things. And so my superpower, honestly, it's being a mom. And then, you know, professionally speaking, I think it's just, you know, staying connected with people. And, you know, whether it's a random text or just a phone call, you know, making sure that I'm reaching out to people just to say hey and let them know that I've been thinking about them and just keeping those connections going. And then vice versa, you know, being available if someone has questions or if they need advice. You know, I've been a mentor for a couple of people. So just the networking piece and really keeping people connected, and then making sure that, you know, they're not only connected with each other, but they're connected with experiences and information, and because I'm in recruiting, connecting them with jobs eventually.
All right. So first of all, I absolutely concur. The older I get, the more my older my boys get, the less judgmental I am of my parents and their parenting of me and my brothers. Right. So there is an absolute relationship between those two things. So favorite interview question. What's your how do you ding people out of the process or get them through the process? What's your favorite question?
Oh, wow, that's a really good one. One of my off-the-cuff things is, you know, I like to have structured questions and, you know, of course, the behavior base. But one of the things, you know, as people start talking about, you know, what they like doing and, you know, some cool things that they've seen other people do, I'll say, okay, well, give me an example of a time when you did that. And, you know, kind of walk through that, you know, situation, task, action, result, so the whole STAR model. But one of the things I will tag on to the end of that is, now that you've been through that situation, tell me what you learned. And, it, you know, sometimes people will pause, but, you know, what it tells me is that they're not, you know, how they respond and the fact that they actually can relay the fact that they've learned something from that situation tells me that they've got some agility, they're not rigid. Lots of organizations go through change, so they're adaptable, and they don't have to always come in and do the same thing day in and day out.
Right. Well, while you were talking about that, I was thinking about how about the interview-trained candidates, you know, those candidates who know how to present themselves, what to talk, how to talk, and they have done their research. But there are the recruiters, we go for gut feel or we go for past performance. But how do you actually understand if there is an interview-trained candidate coming up who is going to be a right fit or not?
You know, that's where the networking comes into play. So there are a couple of things. So one is it's the questioning technique. But one of the things is likely there will be someone who knows someone who knows someone who knows that candidate. Mm-hmm. You pick up the phone, you send an email. In fact, I was on a call just yesterday with a candidate, saw that they worked at a company that my friend's husband works for. I shot off an email and got a response back within 20 minutes. So it's reaching out to your network and saying, what do you know about this gal? Is she legit? The other is just the probing questions. Someone can be well-versed in interviewing, but, you know, as you're asking those behavior-based questions and you probe deeper and deeper, if they don't have, you know, what seems like legitimate responses to those experiences, you know, it's kind of that BS meter, so to speak, you can kind of tell.
Absolutely. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining with us today, for celebrating William's birthday, and for sharing your insightful thoughts. So
absolutely.
So where can people connect with you and say hi to you?
Well, I am on Twitter at Tiffany Keel. I'm also on LinkedIn. In September, I will be at the Tennessee Sherm State Conference, so September 17, 18, 19 in Sevierville, Tennessee. Hanging out with Chris Fields, Melissa Fairman, Justin Harris, Dave Ryan, Ben Eubanks, and all of the HR practitioners in the state of Tennessee. And then in October, I'll be at the Minnesota Sherm State Conference in St. Cloud, October 12th through 14th. So you can find me on the Twitters. You can find me on LinkedIn. And that's it.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for joining with us today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you. Happy birthday, William.